I think the rules of pickleball are set up to control the power. And I know USA Pickleball is doing everything they can to sort of watch and tame down the power with balls and paddles and so on. You know, the game has certainly seemed to change in pickleball to more power, more driving, more blasting. I hope it doesn't get too powerful, because it really is a great equalizer to go out and play the game on a controlled level, sort of like a game of chess, and strategize instead of gripping it and ripping it like racquetball turned out to be.
I'm Paul Olson. I'm the host of the Future of Pickleball show. We're on the Selkirk TV channel. You can see it either on the Selkirk TV app, or you can see it on YouTube under the Future of Pickleball. Today, we've got a really interesting guest who's very knowledgeable in a part of the sport that's going to get to be more and more important, and that is temporary portable rollout courts. I want to welcome Scott Winter to the show. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Paul. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Cool. Yeah, no, it is one of the things that I try and do on this show is I try and get real experts in the different fields where somebody who knows, they may be around the country, they may be around the world watching this broadcast, they can get ideas or see things that you're doing and learn from it and figure, hey, maybe there's a way to integrate that. But before we get into your pickleball management group business and pop-up pickleball, I would like to ask you, I know you've just returned from the U.S. Open in Florida. Tell me what's going on there. What was the vibe?
Well, the vibe is always great there. It's like just the way it's laid out and the way they handle the tournament, it's like a big picnic. So everybody's having fun. You know, a lot of people walking around. There's a lot of spectators that are there that are not only, you know, going to the stadium court, but watching the matches on side courts. A lot of people set up in, you know, with chairs and tents and coolers and so on and hanging out. You see groups of people that are there together. I think that, you know, a lot of obviously South Florida people, but there's a lot of people from all over the country there. It's great to see. One of the things that really was interesting to me is that while we were there activating the court, we had a lot of people that came up interested in our court. And they said, well, this would be great in my Minnesota home or my Michigan home. Or they live there part time, but they also live somewhere else. So a lot of people that, you know, have two different homes and so on and all over the country. It was great. Great to meet everybody.
Terrific. You know, it's been interesting. I've been at the U.S. Open almost every year. And one of the things that I have to say that I love about that location is being in the city park, the ability for people to bring their pop-up sunshades, their lawn chairs. It really does create a great environment. So good. All right. That's enough commercial for the U.S. Open. But people, if you ever get a chance, go to the Open in Florida in April. It's very much worth the trip. But that being said, I do want to jump in and talk about, you're on this show to talk about the pickleball management group that you're one of the founders and partners of, and you also have a company called Pop-Up Pickleball. What I'd like first, guide me a little bit as to what you do with Pickleball Management Group, and tell me about the team you've assembled around you.
Well, the sort of the umbrella company is Pickleball Management, and that really, you know, goes into about four different areas. But the main thing that we do is we sell and rent portable and permanent court equipment. So we have a rollout mat product that I'm sure we'll talk about later. We have nets, we have dividers, trying to put together everything that you would need for the court. One of the things we first set out to do was to run events. And our goal was not to run big pickleball tournament events, although we have done a few of those, but really doing something unique in the sport, something that's not being done, which is popping up events in iconic locations, interesting locations where pickleball courts aren't. So we looked long and hard for the best pickleball surface that we could possibly get. We really didn't want to do the tiles. That's, you know, a no-no in pickleball land. We wanted something better. And it took us a couple of years, but we think we have the answer now. We're very, very proud, and we love our product. That side of the business of doing events is pop-up pickleball, so popping up events. So we sell equipment, we do events. We also have a side of the business that consults and is involved in developing pickleball facilities. We actually right now have a facility being built in Los Angeles. It's not being rebuilt, actually. It's being repurposed. It's an ex-LA Fitness facility. Mm-hmm. So we're gutting that out. We're turning it into a pickleball facility. The future for that is probably going to be more international because there's super growth in the U.S. International is the next area of growth for facilities like this. So our team, I've started in the health and fitness industry a long time ago out of college. Did that for about 12 to 14 years, and mostly due to the racquetball boom that was happening back in the 80s. Ran into Charlie Hauser, who's my primary partner. We're co-founders in this company. Charlie's still there at the U.S. Open carrying on. But Charlie's been involved in the health and fitness industry his whole career. He still owns and manages his own health club in Redding, California, and he's currently the global operations manager for World Gym, which is a big chain of clubs I'm sure you've heard of. I think it's about 275 locations worldwide. So we're sort of taking our backgrounds in that and applying it to pickleball facilities going forward in the future. Two other partners that we're involved with as founders came from 3-on-3 basketball. So they know how to block off city streets, pop-up events, and so on. So we feel like we've got a great team.
Yeah, and actually one of the things that I thought would be I'd like to explore a little bit is really the history of the group that you've got together and some of the magnitude of some of the events for people as an example that don't know what 3-on-3 basketball is and how big it is. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's huge. It's actually an Olympic sport now. That's how huge it is. So, you know, they started out just by popping up events, going into cities, blocking off city streets, popping up basketball event or courts, and having these events for the weekend and moving on to the next. It's great sport. It's fast. There's a lot of action. It gives a lot of players an opportunity to play past their organized basketball play time.
Sure.
It's wildly popular all over the world.
You know, it is. I've been aware of that, and I've actually seen those productions. One of the things that I thought was very interesting as I was doing my research, I've known you personally a long time, but on your team and what your whole organization is trying to get my arms around how your group's life experience and backgrounds in different sports is influencing how you think about pickleball and how you see the growth of pickleball coming. Do you see, as an example, one of the things I know you were deep in the pickleball or in the racquetball world on an administration level for a long time. What do you see in terms of similarities to pickleball and differences from racquetball?
Well, that's a great question. What I see in terms of similarities is when I first got involved in racquetball, the sport was booming. Racquetball clubs were sprouting up on every corner. Everybody was playing it. And part of the, you know, it was a great exercise for the amount of time you put into it. It also became very sociable. At that time, the big trend was not going to meet people in bars, but going to a health club where it's a cleaner environment and you kind of know what you're going to get and you get some exercise. And a lot of the racquetball clubs at that time had a place to sit down, eat, have a smoothie, have a beer or whatever afterwards. It became a great social environment. So I see pickleball a lot in the same way, very sociable. It's booming. It's sprouting up everywhere. The differences that I see is that pickleball is just so much more accessible. You know, it's you can play it anywhere. You don't have to join a club. You know, younger kids are now getting into it, where in racquetball they did it first, but now, you know, as the sport wore on, you know, it just never caught on for the younger kids.
You know, on the order, I know that racquetball ended up having kind of a challenging twist where it was a huge growth sport for a while, and then it went over the top and really kind of cratered pretty seriously. Are there any cautionary experiences that you had through racquetball that you think we ought to be paying attention to or watch for in the pickleball space?
Yeah, it's a great question. Basically, what happened is the game got too fast and too powerful. One of the things, though, too, about racquetball in fairness is racquetball was kind of one of the only games in town. You know, back then, lifting weights wasn't perceived as a, you know, kind of a cool thing to do, or, you know, a lot of people didn't do it. There weren't exercise bikes. There weren't, you know, Pilates classes or aerobics classes. As more of that came into play, racquetball started declining a little bit, especially with women. Being in a box, potential to get hit by a ball, a sport that's a little confrontational, the women sort of, you know, faded out a little bit of the sport. I think the rules of pickleball are set up to sort of control the power. And I know USA Pickleball is doing everything they can to sort of watch and tame down the power with balls and paddles and so on. It's gotten a little out of hand lately. Hopefully they can control it. You know, the game has certainly seemed to change in pickleball to more power, more driving, more blasting, body bagging, all of that sort of stuff. I hope it doesn't get too powerful because it really is a great equalizer to go out and play the game on a controlled level, sort of like a game of chess, and strategize instead of gripping it and ripping it like racquetball turned out to be.
You know, it's interesting. I've had quite a few different guests on my show who came from extensive racquetball backgrounds, and to the person, they all say exactly the same thing that you did about how the speed got out of control, and it just first of all, it shortens the points. And so, yeah, all right. So we're going to try and learn from that and go on. You know, one of the
Good.
things that I would like to do is talk about rollout courts specifically. You've really had a pretty significant history in the rollout court since they came on the market, being involved with how they came on, kind of re-engineering and coming up with some of your own thoughts and ideas. What are the issues and what are the pros and cons of rollout courts as opposed to other kind of court surfaces?
Well, from what I know, there's a couple different rollout or portable court type companies that are out there. Of course, there's ours, there's Pickle Roll, there's Acrotech, and then there's Pickleball Pop-Ups based in Memphis. And we all seem to have the same sort of vision for getting the courts out in front of people where courts aren't. Doing street festivals, trade shows, convention centers, glow in the dark, pickleball, you know, fun things, things that aren't, you know, done every sort of every day in the tournament, sort of the tournament field. So our courts are manufactured overseas, They're not painted. The color is impregnated right into the material along with the texture. The only thing that's painted on our courts are the lines. Our competitors' courts are all have a painted surface. So we consider that point that I just mentioned a competitive advantage. Although the other, you know, products that are out there are all good as well. Pickle Roll probably has the most experience. To my knowledge, their product is not rolls, it's squares. The product that Pickleball Pop-Ups is using, I believe, is a large roll. And Acrotex is a full court roll, which is different. All the thicknesses vary a little bit in terms of thickness of material. Ours is a 6 foot wide mat that rolls out 60 feet long, and it can be customized. So putting five rolls together, butterflying them open, double side taping them down, that's basically an install, and we can install a court in less than an hour.
So now when you talk about it, I know there's been some reporting of some controversy when some players at the pro level don't like the court or they feel that their feet drag. Guide us a little bit as to what the realities are from your perspective and your product.
Yeah, not only our product, but in fairness to my competitors too, I think the general consensus from players is that they really don't understand what we're trying to achieve out there. I think it's sort of an unfair assessment when tournament players go onto our court and they say, well, it doesn't bounce the same or it's not the same. And it isn't. It's not the same. The ball bounce is going to be a little lower. You're not going to be able to drag your toe quite as much. I believe ours is as good or better than anybody else's in that regard. I know one of the companies that's out there, product is probably twice as thick as ours and spongier. And that's going to lead to, you know, your foot maybe grabbing a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I know that in my experience with California Sports Surfaces, the last company I worked for, we had a product called Rebound Ace, which was a real thick pad. And it was made in Australia, and it was the official surface of the Australian Open. Well, there was a issue with an injury. I believe it was Roger Federer. And he had a similar experience where he was on a surface that grabbed too much, and that was the end of it. They went to another surface the next year. I think players need to understand really what we're trying to accomplish. What we're trying to accomplish is we're not saying that we're better than hard court acrylic courts. We're taking courts where courts aren't. And that's our goal, is to pop up courts, put the sport in front of people, you know, put together events that are unique, different, fun for everybody. That's really where we're at. We're not really at trying to create the best surface for the pros. Now, having said that, with the lower bounce, you know, like USA Pickleball's philosophy is to use us for warm-up courts. And I think that's great. I think it's great for the players. It's great for us. We get a lot of good exposure. Yes, you have to bend down a little further to get underneath that ball to get it up over the net. But that's also kind of, it's not a bad training, you know, experience either. It teaches you to get lower and keep your head down and hit up through the ball. It's not bad. I mean, we get very, very few erratic bounces, if any. And on a hard court, you're going to get that every once in a while. Yes, there are some dead spots from time to time on anybody's rollout type product. The product is really only as good as the sub base that's underneath it. So if you've got depressions in the concrete, pitted up asphalt, you know, whatever the case may be, you're going to have a few bounces that don't go your way. We try to get around that by putting cardboard underneath or felt or sometimes a couple extra strips of tape to get around that. But generally, it plays really well, and it looks great, and it brings a different aspect to the sport than a painted permanent court. And that's what we're here to do.
I know. I really looked forward to being at Nationals in Mesa this past November, where you had all the practice courts rolled out. Frankly, I was dazzled at how good it was, but I think you were on a very uniform foundation there, weren't you?
Yeah, we did. We were on a Mondo surface, which is a rubberized surface they play volleyball on. So it was very flat, very consistent, and it played really well. We sold 45 courts to the Hawaii Convention Center, and we did their first tournament ever in Hawaii. It was the biggest tournament they've ever had, and we had 2 months to pull it off. We only used 22 of the courts only, but we drew over 600 players in 2 months, and I'll tell you, we didn't have a bad bounce the entire time. Nobody complained. It was interesting because we were worried, like, our players in Hawaii, do they really want to come inside and play? And do they want to come inside and play on one of our courts? Well, the answer was yes. They loved it. They loved being inside, even though the weather's perfect outside. No wind, no sun. You know, all the elements were out the window, and it was hugely successful. We've done some events at other places, like convention centers, where the floors are not quite as good as that. So it requires more work. You just don't know until you get there, until you roll them out. And that's where the extra work kind of comes in, because you're always trying to make the court as perfect as possible, avoid electrical boxes and light poles and all that sort of stuff. You know, planning is very important in the process.
I want to take a quick moment to tell you about something new in pickleball. We have all been ghosted in the pickleball group chat. Now here's a way to fix that. Get the Play More Pickleball app. We're trying to get some pickleball in, so you send out a message to the group. A few people like the message, but what does that mean? Will they actually show up? And what kind of players are they? Will you have enough people for doubles? Play More is the new pickleball app that does the frustrating part for you. It will send smart invitations to play. You can easily see who's RSVP'd, and then you can use the AI matchmaking tool to balance your games. That means no more 5-0 versus 3-0 matchups. The best part, it's free. Find it in the App Store or use the web version at getplaymore.com. Playmore is the most stress-free scheduling app in pickleball. Now, let's get back to the show. You know, one of the things that you've got me thinking about, and I've never occurred to me before this conversation, I was with Adidas for a good part of my working life, and I was with a division of Reebok for a long time. And I can remember back in the earlier days of pro tennis that there was a lot of attention to shoes, the bottoms on shoes, and some court surfaces they wanted to slide on. I would wonder if maybe that isn't an area we need to have our pros and the shoe manufacturers starting to look at, is, are there different kinds of bottoms that would work better on a rollout court? Well, we don't have to get into the the shoe matrix. You know, something that I got a chance to see a photograph that you sent me, and I've been hearing you talk about the paddle deck, and that I think that's what you actually installed in Naples. Tell us about that and how that'll factor into the variance of opportunities for people to do events.
Yeah, Pickle Deck actually is the name of our product, and we partnered up with a company that does these has a panel technology. Basically, they're 4x4 panels made of recycled plastic that interlock, sort of like a sport court tile or something like that, but they're 2¾ inches thick, so they're much heavier, much sturdier, much thicker than a normal sport court tile. They actually interlock, and there's a locking mechanism that locks the two panels together, so there are no seams at all. This decking can go down on grass, on dirt, on carpet. We think sand. We haven't tried it on sand, but, you know, depending on, you know, if it's sort of compacted and not real loose, This could be a game changer, because not only will it elevate the number of places that we can go with portable courts and get the courts out in front of people, for backyards, it's a game changer, because you can essentially block out some area, excavate it, compact the dirt, lay our decking down, roll our courts out on top of it, and you can do that for half the price of doing a concrete slab and painting it. Not only that, you don't need permits. So because it's not a permanent structure, you just go ahead and do it. You don't need anybody's permission. That decking we installed at the US Open with four guys in an hour and a half. The courts rolled out in about 45 minutes or less. So within 2 hours, you can pop up a court in your backyard and be ready to go. We also think that for country clubs, tennis country clubs that have tennis courts idle, that or parks that have cracked tennis courts, they don't want to spend the money to resurface them. You come in with our decking and our court system, it'll save you money, and you can do it quickly. And the thing is when you're ready to move it, you can move it. You know, if you want to move it to another court, if you want to do something else with that court, I think it's great for clubs, you know, to gauge popularity and grow your pickleball program sort of segment by segment. Rather than going all in and getting six permanent courts done, you could pop up two or three of these and build on that, you know, just get more panels every single year. So we are very excited about this opportunity.
And now, do you have, where it's a new product, but what are you projecting will be the durability, the lifetime of that type of product?
The panels have a lifetime warranty.
Oh.
When I asked the the factory what that meant, they said they'd be shocked if it didn't last at least 25 years.
Very nice.
Our rollout courts, to be honest, Paul, it's a new product. We don't know. We do offer a 3-year warranty. How it's going to hold up outdoors is we're thinking 8 to 10 years. We're thinking indoor 12 to 15 years. But, you know, we're monitoring. We're actually trying to get some courts out into high extreme heat areas to see how it holds up, and
sure,
cold weather areas and so on.
That's, yeah, very nice.
That's just data we need to collect.
What I'd like to do, if we could, Scott, is I want to shift over and I want to talk a little bit about what you do in event planning and event development and launching events. Guide us a little bit as to the kind of things you mentioned, the event in Hawaii. Did you do anything other than provide the courts for them? But what I really want to talk about is what you guys do in event planning and event execution.
Well, the Hawaii project was great for us because we sold a lot of product to the Hawaii Convention Center, and the tourism department was involved, and really the whole community was involved. They asked us if we knew how to run events, and we said yes. It was like one of those things, you know, be careful what you wish for, because it was a lot of work and too much.
Sure.
We pulled it off, and it felt great afterwards. We didn't have a lot of time to raise money because, you know, 2 months at the end of the year, this tournament was in November. Most budgets are already, you know, spent by then. But it was great. I mean, the whole community came out. There was a blessing ceremony by a minister there that blessed the courts. And they had a big ceremony with the lays and the whole thing. And they had music and they had food. Great experience. Most of our events, believe it or not, come to us. We get events really through two ways. I mean, obviously, social media. A lot of people are on social media, but a lot of them kind of come from trade shows, being at, you know, the various shows that we we display at. We get leads from those shows. We've been very active with those this year, and we usually run into people that are looking to have events and don't know how to do it, or want to have an event and want to expand their event. So let's say you're at a club with 12 courts, which is a nice number of courts for a pickleball facility, but they want to expand to 20. Well, we come in with our other 8 courts, and now you got a 20 court tournament.
Oh,
You
sure.
get
Yeah.
more people. Some of those courts are used for tournament play, some are used for activations, doing demos, allowing the vendors to send people over to hit on a court to try their product, etc. I know we have a relationship with the APP now, and that's what they're going to use our courts for, to as activation and warm-up courts. Same with USA Pickleball. That's what's happening right now at the US Open. We're getting a lot of eyeballs on our product because, it's there, it looks great, and they're sending people over to do, sort of side events and keep people active and giving people things to do.
Yeah, I love the idea of that, and that's such an ideal demonstration environment for you to be able to have somebody that might potentially want to talk about something some way with a rollout court. Say, walk out, Derek's a paddle, feel the court, get out there and try it and see for yourself exactly what it's like. I would think that's just magic land, I would think, in terms of getting people to understand your product completely.
Right.
Something that I wanted to ask you, I've had a lot of people in the technology side of the pickleball space. And one of the things with event management and all of the software, the technology that needs to be done, do you guys have any particular feeling or sense of technologies, something that makes it faster, easier, better, more turnkey? How do you guide your events with technology to set everything up?
Well, to be honest, Paul, we haven't done a lot of that. We used pickleball brackets for Hawaii,
Okay.
and it was fine. What I liked about them is they gave us great support. So if we had questions, if we needed to be led through something, they were always there. I know there's so much coming out right now, but our philosophy, just kind of getting back to racquetball, and our philosophy, and I know Charlie's is, we're just totally synced up on that, is we want to run tournaments. When we do, that's all about the player experience. So a lot of give back. So in Hawaii, we gave everybody a shirt. We gave them a goodie bag full of coupons and gifts and so on. We had a raffle that went on the entire time of the tournament. We gave away a lot of stuff. It was easier for us to get a little here, a little there, and make it look huge than it was to go out, and we didn't really have a time to get a big sponsor. But we're all about a lot of play, pool play, sort of stuff, round robin type play, giving people a lot of time on the court.
Very nice. Now something that we're kind of finding ourselves leaning into a little bit is we're talking about player experience. What do you do with outdoor venues, or is it may not be in your wheelhouse? Do you do much with organizing the hospitality in terms of whether it's food trucks or DoorDash or those kind of things to enhance food availability? Any thoughts there?
Food and beverage is what makes, it's important for the events so everybody can be there and have a good experience. So the events we've done in Seattle particularly, we kind of did with the city. They had food trucks there, they had a beer garden, they had it, we worked with them to really get it set up nicely. Right underneath the Space Needle, we did one right in front of the Amazon Spheres. They sponsored the whole thing, so we've had some great partnerships in the last year. That, doing corporate events are great, You get the employees out there and you get the food trucks, you get them playing, and it's a great bonding experience. Those are the things we like to do the most.
You know, it's like I've got my show notes in front of me, and it's kind of like you'd pre-read them because you're kind of hitting right down to the thing. What I really wanted to do is kind of ask you, with the experience and the background that you've got, what do you look for to measure the player's experience at an event? What is that you're looking for?
Just talking to them, being out there with them, and getting great feedback from them. If we're visible out there and we're interacting with them, we know. And it's pretty easy to, get a read on people having fun when they're playing racquetball. But we like to get out on the courts with them. We like to be there on court side, putting product in people's hands. We like to sort of guide them. That and the surveys we send out, we get feedback from that. As a matter of fact, we have two in the next 2 weeks coming up at ESPN headquarters. We're
Oh,
really
nice.
excited about that. There's one in Bristol, Connecticut at their main location, and the other one's in Burbank in California.
So cool.
Those
So
are both in conjunction with the APP.
now then, do you have any other metrics that you use for spectator satisfaction, or do you look to that anything different than the players who've paid to participate in the event?
A lot of our events are not paid for. There we find sponsors to work with, and people are invited in to join in. The food trucks are there for them
Okay.
to interact with. In Hawaii, we did provide some food for the participants, but it's more about setting it up in advance so that the players can enjoy, they can get out on court, and they have options to do other things in addition to that.
Nice. Now then, I guess the last question I've got in terms of how these events come together, how do you gauge and measure your vendor and sponsor expectations of these events themselves? What are they looking for, and what are you trying to deliver for them?
Well, we what we try to do deliver for them is to promote them and get people over in front of them. So one of the things that we've done in the past, and I know others have done it too, you develop a punch card, and they get
Oh.
their card punched by going to different vendor stations, and once they got them all punched, then they can get into the raffle contest or whatever it else you're doing. But you
Sure.
got to find a way to drive people to them. If you do that, the vendors are happy. At least they have a shot at selling something or at least talking about their product.
Sure. Now, as we've talked, and I've had this come up in a number of other interviews that I've done, timing on events. You've mentioned a couple of times in Hawaii that you were pinched for time. What do you recommend to people? What is the ideal development cycle to do a big event, and time-wise for you to be able to have the ability to optimize the vendors that you can get there, the sponsors that you can get? What should somebody really plan on that way?
I think ultimately, if you can start planning a year and a half out,
Okay.
that's anywhere from there to 9 months. I think if anything under 9 months, if you want big sponsors, it's gonna be tough because if you're gonna ask for a decent amount of money, you need to get into their minds and have them start thinking about their budget.
Yeah, I have found in the events that I've been involved with, very often people don't realize how unsuccessful it is trying to approach somebody about they have a budget, and if you're not catching them in their planning cycle, you're really having a tough time. Do you find that to be the case?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that so many companies, want to latch on to pickleball. They want to be part of it. I can't tell you how many, and I met a lot of them at the US Open. Why are you here? Well, the CEO or the owner of the company is a pickleball fanatic, and he wanted us to be here. And you see that so much within, there's so much passion for pickleball up and down the chain, and including at big companies too. So even though they may want to be involved with it, it still comes down to, you gotta give them an opportunity to put it in their budget.
I love the way this conversation has gone today. And what I would like you to do right now, so that I don't forget it again, is how do people reach out and get in touch with you?
Well, my email is scott@pickleballmanagement.com, or you can email Charlie Hauser, my partner, charlie@pickleballmanagement.com, and our website is pickleballmanagement.com. So check us out on our website, send me an email, send Charlie an email. We'd love to engage with you, even if it's just a question. But yeah, we love getting the feedback, and we want to see this thing grow. We feel like we're sort of on the tip here, especially with this new Pickle Deck product, to really launching and getting to the next level.
Well, I know when I was preparing for this interview, one of the things that I'm always trying to do is find people who are taking a leadership role in ways to help grow the sport. And facilities, access to courts, all of this stuff is really the hurdle that everything is standing in front of. And frankly, it leads me to kind of the next piece. Are you guys doing anything internationally? I've been involved with a number of big international events, and there seems to be things blowing up all over the place. Is that a factor for you yet?
It's not a factor for us yet, but it's where we want to go.
Okay.
So anybody that's out there outside of the US or in the US, anywhere, it takes a little more time, it takes a little more work. We'd love to start developing contacts. That's why we're kind of looking at Pickleball Minds and some of the other events that are coming up internationally to network more with people outside the US to get involved in events and get our products out, in
Yeah,
those.
and I think you'll find that you're going to have great success with that. I was at the Pickleball Minds event in Dubai last January, and it really was eye-opening to me to see how the serious business community around the world is starting to look at pickleball. And frankly, they need somebody to show them solutions. Because they know how to write checks, but they don't know all of the details to really make these things go. So I suspect as you engage in that, you're going to be pretty pleased with where your airplane tickets are taking you around the world.
Yeah, I agree, Paul. It's an untapped part of the business right now. We'd love to be first in.
Perfect. Well, Scott, I want to thank you so much for joining us today on the future of
Oh.
pickleball. For those of you that have been watching us, if you like what we're doing, hit the like button, subscribe, and download the Selkirk TV app on your phone. It is an amazing app. There's about seven podcasters that are on there. Endless number of coaches and trainers have video content on there. And very often you can see live pro events right on your telephone from the Selkirk TV app. Scott, thanks so much for joining me. I'll see you out there on the courts.
Sounds great, Paul. Thanks for having me. Take care.